Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharine.
Bye.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Srila Guru Deva. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Paripraja Kacharya Stotra Satisri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Paripraja Kacharya Stotra Satisri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadweep Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I will be back in 1 minute. Hare Krishna. So, this planet is called Martyaloka, the place of death. In the Mahabharata, Yamaraj asks Maharaj Yudhisthira, what is the most amazing thing? And the answer was that at every moment people are dying, but still we think we will not die. But during times like this, with the coronavirus pandemic, we are confronted more squarely with the prospects of death. Just yesterday, I got an email from a devotee who said frankly that he's afraid of dying with all this pandemic. So, of course, death is inevitable, as sure as death. And so we want to prepare ourselves. And I will read a verse and purport to encourage us to prepare. I mean, I will be coming to that topic of devotees passing away in apparently unfortunate circumstances. But really, that is part of the larger topic of death and how to prepare for death. So I will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, the first step in God realization. Text 6. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Byam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Byam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. Etavan, all these, Sankhya, complete knowledge of matter and spirit, Yoga Byam, knowledge of mystic power, Swadharma, particular occupational duty, Parinishtaya, by full perception, Janma, birth, Labha, gain, Para, the supreme, Pumsam, of a person, Ante, at the end, Narayana, the personality of Godhead, Smriti, remembrance. Translation. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narayana is the transcendental personality of Godhead beyond the material creation. Everything that is created, sustained, and at the end annihilated is within the compass of the Mahatattva, material principle, and is known as the material world. The existence of Narayan, or the personality of Godhead, is not within the jurisdiction of this Mahatattva. And as such, the name, form, attributes, etc. of Narayan are beyond the jurisdiction of the material world. In other words, the personality of Godhead, Narayan or Krishna, exists beyond the material world. And even when he comes into the material world, he is still transcendental. His name, his forms, his qualities, his pastimes, they're all transcendental. And by associating with the personality of Godhead, and especially by remembering the personality of Godhead at the time of death, we can achieve the highest perfection and go back home, back to Godhead. Just yesterday, I heard a talk in which Srila Prabhupada spoke about preparing for the time of death. And it was such a nice talk and so relevant that I thought I will read from it, because it's very encouraging. My own, summary of this talk would be: make your life successful, think of Krishna at the time of death. So here's what Srila Prabhupada said. At the time of death, the position of your mind will create the next body. This is the science. So if you create your position of the mind Krishna conscious, then you will get a body like Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. Love God, Krishna, and you get the next body like Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. How to think of Krishna at the time of death. Then your life is successful. So that has to be practiced. And that this is our assignment. That has to be practiced. Sada tad bhava bhavita. If you always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that means you remember Krishna always. So there is chance, 99% chance, that at the time of your death you will think of Krishna and your life is successful. Very simple method. Make always your mind absorbed in Krishna, and naturally, at the time of death, you will think of Krishna. Madhyajinopi yantimam. That is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Chaktudeham punarjanma naiti mameti soarjuna. One who knows, the translation is, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode. Such a person, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking, such a person, a Krishna conscious person who knows Krishna, if you think of Krishna, naturally you will know of Krishna. Krishna is in your heart. So if you think of Krishna, then gradually you become Krishnaized. Just like you put the iron rod in fire. Gradually it becomes fire, warmer, 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 then red hot. When it is red hot, it is fire. Whatever you touch, it will burn immediately. Similarly, if you think of Krishna, the same example, touching fire. So Krishna will purify you. Srinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. The translation is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So we are discussing the messages of Godhead. Now this verse, Satam, the truthful devotee, and you know, Srila Prabhupada explains Satam means truthful devotee. No hypocrisy, no duplicity. We are what we present ourselves as being. We don't pretend to be something other than what we are, and that is devotees. So, just like you are being purified by hearing about Krishna daily, otherwise, why are you coming here? We have no money to bribe you to come here. You are feeling, becoming Krishnaized. Therefore, you are coming. So this is the process, simple process. You simply be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Then you become Krishnaized, purified. And as soon as you become purified, you understand Krishna. By thinking of Krishna, naturally you become attached. Just like the materialists, they are always thinking of women and money. So they become attached to women and money. Similarly, if you think of Krishna, you become attached to Krishna. It is not a difficult job. So this is our mission, to become attached to Krishna, more attached to Krishna than to anything else or anyone else, so that at the time of death, we can remember Krishna, Ante Narayana Smriti, and go back home, back to Godhead. But it's not so easy. I mean, in a way it's easy, but in a way it's not so easy, because we have other attachments. I will tell one instructed story about my godbrother, a very nice godbrother, Vaikunthanath Das. In fact, he was in the old Boston temple. He was my senior godbrother when I joined the temple in Boston. I was in the Boston Temple. So he was driving his motor vehicle, and it stalled on the railway tracks. And, you know, naturally he wanted to get it going, so he was fiddling with it, trying to get the motor to start again. Meanwhile, he saw a train was coming. It was heading right towards him. And, I mean, he was trying to get the motor to start, but he couldn't. And he saw that the train was going to hit him. So just before the train hit, he started to chant Hare Krishna. But when the train hit, he thought of his wife. What will happen to her after he dies? And that was his last thought. But he didn't die. Fortunately, he lived to tell the story, and he's still alive and well in Krishna consciousness. But that shows how our mind may, at the last moment, go to some other attachment besides Krishna. And so we have to, you know, really, maya sakta manasa partha, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, increase your attachment to Krishna. And we do that by chanting. Well, all the processes, but especially chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the chanting also should be from the heart. Srila Prabhupada gave the wonderful example that a parrot can also learn how to chant. A parrot can also chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when death comes, when the cat catches hold of the parrot, then there's no more Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's just ka, 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 ka. So Srila Prabhupada said, our chanting shouldn't be like that, that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but then when death comes, ha, 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 ha. So the chanting has to be deep. That's the idea. And of course, there's a whole science to chanting, and many devotees have written wonderful books about japa, chanting, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, His Grace Purijan Das. And so reading about chanting and speaking about chanting is also very supportive to our chanting. So now we come back to this purport. By the speculation of empiric knowledge, or empiric philosophy, which discerns matter from spirit, or by the cultivation of mystic powers, which ultimately helps the performer to reach any planet of the universe or beyond the universe, or by the discharge of religious duties, one can achieve the highest perfection, provided one is able to reach the stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. So that's our task or assignment. And as Srila Prabhupada said, the best way, or the principal way, is by chanting. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee who can give the finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis, or karmis in terms of prescribed duties defined in the scriptures. There are many historical instances of the achievement of spiritual perfection, such as that of the Sanakadi Rishis, that means the four Kumaras, and the celebrated nine Yogendras, who attained perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. So these personalities, like the four Kumaras and the nine Yogendras, they were transcendentalists, but they were not devotees. But in the end, they became devotees. And that is the position from which we could remember Narayana or Krishna at the time of death. So they attained perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. None of the devotees of the Lord ever deviated from the path of devotional service by taking to other methods adopted by the jnanis or yogis. So the other practitioners, you know, karmis, jnanis, and yogis, they have to make progress to become devotees. But devotees, they never go back and become, you know, karmis, jnanis, or yogis. Everyone is anxious to achieve the highest perfection of his particular activity, whatever it is. And it is indicated herein that such perfection is Narayana Smriti, for which everyone must endeavor his best. In other words, life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step of life. So if we're constantly remembering Krishna, in fact, that's the basic principle of Vaidisadhana Bhakti. Satatam, smartavya satatam Vishnu, na smartavya na jatuchit. That is the basic principle, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And we should mold our lives in such a way that we always remember Krishna and never forget him, so that at the time of death, there's 99% chance, maybe even 100% chance, that we will remember Krishna and attain success in life and go back home, back to Godhead. So now, we have examples of what we would consider to be the ideal death. We have Srila Prabhupada's example, who was in the holy dham of Vrindavan, surrounded by devotees chanting the holy name. But sometimes devotees do not leave in such ideal circumstances. But that may also be part of a plan. We should not think that just because devotees leave in awkward situations that they did not get Krishna's mercy, or they did not achieve their progressive goal. And so I thought to read a very a relevant verse. The purport of which is that we cannot really understand the plan of the Lord. And therefore, even if a devotee leaves in apparently unfortunate circumstances or awkward circumstances, it may not actually be so, because it may be part of a larger plan of the Lord. So, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, text, Jai and Vijay cursed by the sages, text 37. I'll just read the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear sons, this is Lord Brahma speaking. My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yoga Maya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga. That most ancient person, the personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on the subject? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When something is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse according to one's calculations. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful preacher is killed, or sometimes he is put into difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the will of the Lord by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished at the hands of the Qazi by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and Prahlad Maharaj was put through many tribulations. The Pandavas, who were direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom, their wife was insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So devotees are always under the care of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if they die in apparently awkward situations or unfortunate situations, we have to have faith that they were and are being protected by the Lord, or placed by the Lord in certain circumstances for their ultimate benefit by the Lord's mercy. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters, there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the grace of the Lord. One who continues to serve the Lord, even in reverse conditions, is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. So here Srila Prabhupada is indirectly referring to a very important verse from the 10th canto, 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatenu kampam su samikshamana. And the idea of the verse is that if one accepts reverse conditions as the mercy of the Lord, and rather than becoming discouraged in devotional service, becomes even more intent in devotional service, offering respects to the Lord with body, mind, and words. Such a devotee, as Prabhupada says here, is guaranteed to go back to home, back to Godhead. And the exact word used in that verse in Sanskrit is dayabak. Dayabak refers to a son's rightful inheritance from a father. And Srila Sridhar Swami, the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, remarks that the devotee need only remain alive in Krishna consciousness, and he is guaranteed to inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, he will go back home, back to Godhead. He just has to remain alive in Krishna consciousness, and he will get his lawful inheritance from his father, and in this case, the Supreme Father. And that rightful inheritance is the kingdom of God, going back home, back to Godhead. So we should always have faith in the mercy of Krishna and in the process of Krishna consciousness, and practice remembering Krishna always, especially by chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by studying Srila Prabhupada's books and engaging in all the processes of devotional service of bhakti yoga as given in the revealed scriptures and by the spiritual master, by Srila Prabhupada. And especially the chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will, you know, create remembrance of Krishna. When we first joined ISKCON, it was the practice that we would read Krishna book at night before taking rest. And so then in the morning when we got up to chant our japa after Mangalarti, it was sort of natural to remember Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, if you read the Krishna book whatever situation you're in will remind you of Krishna. And I experienced that particularly at one stage when we were in Gorakhpur with Srila Prabhupada. It was amazing. Yeah, everything reminded me of Krishna because of my reading the Krishna book. So yeah, these are all different methods or practices that help us to remember Krishna, so that Ante Narayana Smriti, we can remember Narayan or Krishna at the time of death. And that is our success, that is the perfection of our life. Hare Krishna. So I would like to stop speaking now to give others a chance to add their thoughts, insights, realizations, or to ask questions. So I would say that anyone who has a question can raise your hand and we'll call on you. I guess Premaras Das will call on you and ask you to unmute yourself. So if you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful nectarine class. Got to understand a lot of deep insights. Maharaj, I have a list of questions already because I knew that there will be a lot of devotees joining. So we have already prepared a list of questions. And so if I can ask you a couple of them.
Okay. You prepared these questions.
My devotee friends and myself, I have questions. So we already have prepared some questions. And I think probably most of the devotees might have similar type of questions. So.
Okay, shoot.
Okay. So Maharaj, you mentioned about, you quoted Srila Sridhar Swami Maharaj and how he mentioned that you just be alive in Krishna consciousness and you can go back to God or you can inherit the property of the Father. But Maharaj, you also know that there are certain requirements to go to Goloka. As we know from Shastra, and Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that without cultivating the feelings of Ragmarg or Raganuga Bhakti, or without following the resident of a Vrajvasi, we cannot go to Goloka. So how do you connect the special mercy which is bestowed by Srila Prabhupada? And, you know, because we are not, in ISKCON, we are not talking about these things. We are mostly talking about spreading Srila Prabhupada's mission, chanting the holy name and follow the regulative principles strictly, and we go back to Godhead. So how do we connect both these things together, and what exactly happens at the time of death? Is our Swarupa revealed to us, or we know whom we are supposed to follow in the spiritual world? So that is the question.
Yeah, yesterday I read a letter from Srila Prabhupada to a disciple who was sort of asking similar questions. And Srila Prabhupada replied that generally the followers of Lord Chaitanya will go to Goloka Vrindavan. And there, as you know, there are different stages of spiritual progress. As Srila Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu delineates, Adosha Tha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti Syat, and so on. Nishta Ruchi Asakti Bhava and Prema. So it is considered to be sahajya, means like people who take things cheaply, not they're not They're sort of devotees, but they're not really proper. So it's considered to be sahajya. This is from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If one tries to build one's swarup on the basis of one of developments of Shraddha before Asakti. In the advanced stage of Asakti, when one is approaching Bhava, one can get a sense of one's swarup. And then, of course, at the stage of Bhava, yeah, one's swarup is revealed, and in at the stage of prema, one actually acts within Krishna Lila according to one's swarup. So, I don't think that we should try to, prematurely imagine our swarup. As you said, there are two processes of sadhana bhakti. There's Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. And the adhikar, or the requirement for beginning Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, is Shraddha, faith. And the adhikar, or requirement for beginning Raganuga sadhana bhakti, is lobha, or greed to follow one of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan in a particular mood of service. As Srila Prabhupada says, that doesn't come before anartha nivritti. One has to become free from these unwanted habits and bad qualities. And then when one has passed that and is at a more advanced stage, one can have some lobha, some greed for a particular type of service, following in the footsteps of one of Krishna's eternal associates. So, it's all there. But, when one comes to the stage of advancement, when such thoughts or practices are appropriate, one will have that, and, all the information is there that we require. But we shouldn't artificially try to imagine our swarup or our relationship with Krishna, our service to Krishna. Yeah. You need to unmute yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Maharaj. Maharaj, thank you so much for the answer. There is a follow-up question to this, the question is that, do you mean to say that when a devotee passes away, then if a devotee is quite advanced or has satisfied the spiritual master quite thoroughly, then all these higher stages or all these symptoms or the inclination to serve a particular Rajvasi in Goloka, it will all manifest at the time of death before passing away?
Oh, you mean, will it manifest in this lifetime? Oh.
Yeah, generally we say that the devotee has gone back to Godhead, seeing the service, the type of services the devotee has rendered. He must have pleased Prabhupada very thoroughly, or the spiritual master. So then we believe and we have faith that because Prabhupada said that if you just sincerely serve Krishna throughout your life, follow the regular principles and read my books and preach, then you will, one is assured to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Prabhupada said many times. So, so does it mean that because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the devotee will realize, the details of his relationship with the Lord?
Well,
throughout your life,
he might not before he leaves the body, but he'll reach the goal after leaving the body.
Okay.
Once Yamuna Devi asked Srila Prabhupada about that, following one of the eternal residents of Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada, I don't remember exactly how the discussion went, but the conclusion was that Srila Prabhupada was an eternal resident of Vrindavan, and one could follow him. I don't think we should worry too much about these things. Our superiors will take care of all that.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Another question, Maharaj, is one devotee is asking.
One of these devotees who are with us, or one from?
One of the devotees who is currently live, and also she's part of our group.
Yeah, because I like to see the devotee who's asking the question.
Oh, okay.
On the screen, it's like more personal.
Sure, Maharaj. I would request Anisha Madhuri in the video.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class. Maharaj, my question is that you mentioned about the devotee that he was chanting Hare Krishna, but actually when the time of death came, he thought about something else. And we shouldn't chant like a bird. And then, when the tragedy happens, our mind goes somewhere else. So, and you said that one should develop attachment to the holy name. So, but our mind always wanders while chanting. So how can we develop that intensity to purify our chanting?
Well, Srila Prabhupada said practice makes perfect, even in spiritual life. So we have to practice. The main thing, of course, is to articulate the holy names and hear them. I listen to these. I used to listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures systematically, but recently I've started listening to his lectures on TuneIn, so I sort of just get whatever comes up, and I like it because I end up getting things with which I wouldn't have expected. And so in one of those, which I heard recently, Srila Prabhupada spoke about chanting. And so I'll just read an excerpt from that talk, which I heard. Krishna is always ready to help us, provided we are also ready to cooperate with him. If we cooperate with him, what Krishna desires, if we want to do a little, immediately Krishna will help you. If you work 1%, Krishna will help you 10%. Again, if you work 1%, Krishna will help you another 10%. But the 10% credit you get, by the help of Krishna. Krishna gives you the intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam buddhi yogam didami tam. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. If you are engaged satatam 24 hours without any other engagement, giving up all other nonsense business, if you are engaged in Krishna's business, priti purvakam, with love, not as hackneyed. Hackneyed means like stereotyped, or you could even say boring. Oh, here is a duty, chanting of Hare Krishna. All right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. In this talk, that's how Srila Prabhupada was chanting, imitating someone who just wants to be done with his rounds, you know, chanting very quickly and indistinctly. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Not like that. With priti, with love, chant every name, Hare Krishna, and here. Here is Krishna, here is Radharani, that kind of chanting. Quality, not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, not like that. Priti. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti. That priti, priti means love. That priti is required. That is the essential quality. So, yeah, it's, you just have to keep practicing. But yeah. And yeah, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, in his book Harinam Chintamani, in which he discusses the holy name and the 10 offenses, he says that we should not chant with the mentality of wanting to get our rounds done. I mean, we may, but it's like, I've facilitated many japa retreats and workshops. And in one, which I did with Mahatma Prabhu, he quoted a devotee as saying that previously I used to think that japa was coming in the way of my life. Meaning, you know, because he had to finish his rounds, he couldn't get on with his life. So he said, previously I used to think japa was coming in the way of my life. But now I think my life is coming in the way of my japa. So, yeah, I want to come to that that stage, that attitude. Any other questions or comments, especially from people who are with us?
We have a question from Rasa Sundari Mataji, Maharaj.
Okay, Rasa Sundari Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Nice to be with you. Yeah. I was wondering, when you were talking about when the devotee is leaving the body, and you spoke about higher authorities who were taking care of him then, I was wondering, because of the eternal relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master, so when the disciple leaves before the spiritual master, how he's taken care of?
I don't understand the question. You mean, yeah, maybe you could repeat it or explain it?
Yeah. That because the relationship between the spiritual master and the devotee is eternal, and I understand that the devotee, when he goes to the spiritual world, he's under the guidance and the practice of this, under the guidance at least of the spiritual master. Like, so I was wondering, so what's happening when the devotee leaves this world before the spiritual master?
Oh. Well, there will be other associates of the spiritual master in the spiritual world. Who can engage the devotee. So in our case, I imagine if someone goes to the spiritual world, so Srila Prabhupada will be there in some form. And then the other disciples who have already left, you know, I mean, there's so many, but say Tamal Krishna Goswami, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, so many, they will be there. And they can welcome that new arrival and engage them. So I think that there's no problem at all. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Okay, next question we have from Sunil Chakrabani Prabhu. Are you there, Sunil Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for your wonderful. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I had a question. What about devotees who are unwell in the hospital and, when they are not conscious? And when they are not conscious for many days, so how will the remembrance of the Lord come to them? Although externally we may put Prabhupada tape, it may be running and all, how will the Lord allow them to remember him?
Yeah. Well, there's a very nice verse, I believe, in the Varaha Purana, in which the Lord says that if due to various circumstances, my devotee cannot remember me at the time of death, I will remember my devotee. although externally, the person may appear to be unconscious, but internally the person is conscious. And of all the senses to go, the sense of hearing goes last. And so, again, although the person may appear to be unconscious, but the person is hearing, maybe hearing, or is hearing. And so we should keep that, the vibration of transcendental sound, as long as the person is still in the body. And it has happened, unfortunately, that, you know, whatever, friends and relatives, they think that the person is not able to hear them. And they say things that they would not have wanted the person to hear. But the person did hear them. Because although he or she seemed to be unconscious, but the consciousness was there and the sense of hearing was there. So we want to keep up that transcendental vibration until the end and afterwards.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, there's another question from Kola Mohandas Pramodini. Would you like to ask the question? Kola Mohandas Pramodini.
Yes, please ask.
Okay, I'm not sure if the devotee is still there. So the question is, a devotee at the time of death remembers family members. What is the status after death?
Well, it would depend on the spiritual advancement of the family members. Thinking of a family member at the time of death may or may not be good or bad. But if the family member is very Krishna conscious, then thinking of that family member could be good. So it's natural that we're attached to our family members. So it's both for their benefit and for our benefit that they become Krishna conscious, because then if we think of them and they're Krishna conscious, then that will be a Krishna conscious death for us. You may know the story of Ajamil, who was born in a good Brahmin family, but later he married a prostitute and became very degraded, very sinful. So much so that at the age of 88, he had an 8-year-old son. And at the time of death, the Yamadutas, the messengers of Yamaraj, came to take Ajamil to punish him for all his sinful activities. But at that moment, being panic-stricken, he called out helplessly for his son, who is named Narayan. So Ante Narayana Smriti. So at the last moment he chanted, Narayan, 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 indicating his son. But because he chanted the holy name of Narayan, the Narayan Dutas or Vishnu Dutas came. And then there was a big discussion between the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas about who had jurisdiction over Ajamil. The Yamadutas said, we have jurisdiction over him because he was so sinful. And the Vishnu Dutas said, but he chanted the holy name of Narayan at the final moment, so we have jurisdiction over him. The final moment means he didn't die, but he was on the verge of death. And our acharyas say that although he was indicating his son, Narayan, but chanting the name of Narayan reminded him of the original Narayan, whom he had chanted during his youth. So by that chanting, that chanting is called Nama Bas. There's three stages of chanting. Nama Parad, which means offensive. Now, to commit sin on the strength of chanting is an offense. But Ajamil didn't do that. He wasn't offensive in that way. He wasn't thinking, oh, I'll commit sinful activities and I'll chant the name of Narayan to neutralize them. No, his crying out the holy name of Narayan was offenseless. That means namabas. But it wasn't pure. It wasn't shuddhanam. And so he was saved. He was saved from death. He was saved from hellish punishment. And he went to Haridwar. And he practiced, he was associating with devotees and chanting. And when he was in Haridwar, he attained perfection in chanting. And then those same Vishnu Dutas, whom he had seen earlier, they came to take him back home, back to Godhead. So, yeah, the holy name is very powerful if chanted without offense. So now, who was that from?
That was from a devotee called Kola Mohan Das Pramodini. I see the devotee online, like in the in our participant list, but I'm not sure why they can't speak. I don't know if it's because they can't unmute themselves.
All right, we'll move along.
Okay. Okay, Maharaj, thank you so much. There is one more.
There's a comment from Vishakapriya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, this was me, Mohandas Polekar. The question was asked by me, and I got the very good answers. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. So, Vishakapriya Mataji, would you like to share your comment?
So who's speaking now?
Okay. If you aren't there, we'll request you.
Maharaj, may I ask a question? This is Sumitra.
Oh, yes. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. Wonderful lecture. Thank you. I just wanted to say one comment and then a question about Krishna always protecting our protecting his devotees. This is a true incident that Lalita shared with me. On a weekend, she was seeing patients in the ICU, and the patient's wife looked at her Kantimala and said, "Are you a Hare Krishna?" Long story short, the patient happened to be in Krishna consciousness 20 years ago and then fell out of it. And the wife communicated to Lalita that he's been missing it for so long. Here was the patient, intubated, vented, couldn't speak for himself. And once Lalita knew that, she brought Ganga Jal, played a tape of the Maha Mantra, and eventually he left his body. So even when he couldn't speak for himself, Krishna arranged that he would have devotee association. So that that's always kept me going, that Krishna would never forsake, even if it happened 2 decades ago.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. The question is, Maharaj, when we say when in our family, if someone suffers a heart attack or some other disease caused by a lifestyle issue, even if they are critically ill, that forces us to reckon with, well, what changes do we need to make? What changes do we need to make in our family, need to make in our community? When there is a death from an unnatural cause in our community, what is our responsibility as a devotee community to look into and say what could we have done to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again to someone else? Would perhaps this question is coming from sometimes in my childhood in India, when there was something bad happening, people would use the reason of God has a plan to not help that person who was suffering. So they might have used that to not take an active stance to get to the root of some of the problems that might have contributed. So while we take solace in the fact that we will never know the extent of Krishna's plan or the reason for it, on a practical level, what is our responsibility as a devotee community to look into the circumstances and ensure that doesn't happen to someone else again?
Well, I'm not sure what, if you could give, maybe you could give an example, because I'm not clear on what you mean.
Sure. So, for example, if the death was caused by a lifestyle disease, a heart disease, cancer, there's very well widespread knowledge on the causes for it. But if it's caused from uncontrolled depression or, an undiagnosed mental illness, what is our responsibility as a devotee community?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good question. we should try to, yeah, I mean, there could be systems for doing it. You know, pairing of devotees or placing of devotees under mentors or counselors or mitras, who sort of monitor the devotee. That's the one thing. And also, someone the devotee can confide in without being afraid that the confidant will share the information with others. That's like a really important point about confidentiality, that we have to maintain confidentiality so devotees who have a problem feel they can speak to someone about it without worrying that the person is going to tell others, broadcast it. And then, you know, if they feel it's a combination, you know, of sort of monitoring the devotees, just keeping an eye on them, seeing how they're doing, and creating an atmosphere in which the devotee feels that he or she can confide in others without the confidence being broken. Then things could come out and we could try to help that devotee before something bad happens. Yes, that's very important.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I have a comment, if it's not too late, because I think you're speaking in about half an hour.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. I have heard several times that if we have a certain number of breaths to breathe, and then we die when we're meant to die. But if we're not ready to die, and we are practicing Krishna consciousness, then at the time of death, Krishna will extend your life. And I had an experience, I think it was 1989 or 19 in South Africa, in Durban, where I almost drowned. It was after Ratha Yatra, and I had gone with a couple of devotees to the beach to recuperate after 3 days of intense preaching. And the girls, they didn't know how to swim, so they sat on the sand dune, and I went down, and I started swimming. And after a while, I realized that the current was taking me out to sea, and I tried to swim back in the other direction, but the waves were extremely strong, and I was not making any progress. And then at one point, and the beach was deserted. So I was trying to swim back to the shore, and then a huge wave hit me at the back of the head. It happened one time, two times, three times, four times, and I started. I started diving under while when I saw the wave gone, but it wasn't helping. Finally, I started swallowing water, and then I looked at the sky. I looked at the sea. There was nobody around. I thought, "Oh, this is it. I'm going to die. What to do? Better chant Hare Krishna." And that was my last thought. And then, I don't know what happened. The next thing, I found myself on the beach, on the sand, lying there. And I didn't give much thought to it. I just went back to the girls and said, I almost drowned. And then I drove back to the temple. And then a few years later in Vrindavan, I think it was during a VIT seminar, something clicked, that remembrance that actually I remembered what to do at the time of death, but there was no love. It was not a call to Krishna. It was just, you know, guidebook for devotees. What to do at the time of death, chant Hare Krishna. And I did it, but there was no feeling. There was no fear, actually, but there was no feeling either. So I think Krishna mercifully extended my lifetime so that I could practice, and by your mercy, hopefully one day I will chant with feeling. Right now it's duty.
Just keep chanting.
Keep... Yes.
All right. Well,
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please, Dhanvat Pranam. This is Sundaranand Das from London. It's so okay. Nice to see you, Maharaj. I hope you're well.
Yeah, nice to see you too. Nice to
I had a quick question, Maharaj. A lot of times devotees say that please pray for me or please pray for us. And I see a lot of devotees just with a knee-jerk response say, oh yes, I'll pray for you. And it seems more like a knee-jerk response rather than a statement rather than actually an action. So my questions are two. One is that should we be asking the devotees to pray for us? That's in difficulty. That's number one. And number two is on the other side, when devotees do ask us to pray for them, what should be our mood and consciousness rather than just making a statement? And often I resist making a statement till I can actually deliver it. So what would be your guidance, Maharaj, on that?
Well, in Srila Prabhupada's last days, I heard him say on many occasions, please pray for me. Not to his disciples, but he said, please pray for me. But we disciples, we wanted to pray for him, but we wanted to know how. And he gave the wording, you know, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, this is very important, if you so desire. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. I mean, if devotees ask us to pray for them and we say we will, then we must. I mean, we said we would. But quite often, when a devotee asks me to pray for them, I ask, what do you want me to pray for? So there, it's not just a figure of speech, but they actually think about it. And then when I hear what they want me to pray for, depending on the quality of the desire for the prayer, I may accept it or I may question them further. You know, why do you want me to pray for them? You know, say they say, well, please pray for me so I can get a good job. So I'll say, well, you know, why? Why do you want a good job? And if it comes back to Krishna consciousness, I could pray for it with the note that the good job is so that he can, you know, have more money to, you know, spend on Krishna consciousness. There was a devotee in our community named Giridhari Priya. Very nice devotee from Surat. Family is originally from Surat. And he was looking for a house. He wanted to buy a house and he couldn't find one. So I said, well, have you prayed for it? He said, no, I can't. How can I pray for a material thing? So I said, well, if you conceive of it materially, then you can't. But what if you reconfigure the idea that you want a place, you want to have a nice place for your deities, where you can host devotees and have programs, where you can accommodate devotees if they need a place to stay. If you pray for that, then it's not material. So he started to pray in the way I suggested, and then very soon he found a suitable house. So a lot Well, in Krishna consciousness, everything really depends on motivation. And so, you know, even something that appears to be material, if the motivation is Krishna consciousness, then it's not material. But that being said, our mood should be, you know, to serve Krishna whether I get the facility I want or not. That must go on whether we get the facility or not. Like Srila Prabhupada said, if I have a microphone, it's good. People will be able to hear me more easily. But even if I don't have a microphone, I'll still preach.
Maharaj, in this time of COVID-19 and also devotees getting sick, one of the commonest prayers which are being asked is that my so-and-so relative is unwell, please pray for him. Or the second instance is when they've left their body, please pray for him. So those are the two common instances that devotees right now are asking. And I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, I, you know him very well, my disciple Ramanuja in London.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, he had COVID-19. And, you know, I don't think he was afraid of death as such, but he felt he had work to do before leaving his body. So I prayed for him in the mood of, you know, giving him some more time so he can do more service. And he did fortunately get better. And praying for someone who's already left, we can pray that they go forward on their spiritual journey. It's good to pray. Yeah. And I was present when Srila Prabhupada was meeting with Bob Cohen in Mayapur, and their conversations became the book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And so Bob Cohen asked Srila Prabhupada, does Krishna know what we're thinking? And Srila Prabhupada said yes. And then Bob asked, well, why should we pray? Because Krishna already knows. And Prabhupada replied, because your business is praying. So, yeah, that's good to pray. And there have actually been scientific studies of patients who were suffering from disease who had people praying for them, and then others with, you know, similar medical condition did not have people praying for them. And the group that had people praying for them didn't know that they had people praying for them. So it wasn't like psychological that, oh, people are praying for me. So, you know, they didn't know. But still, the group that had people praying for them had a higher rate of recovery than the others. So prayers are powerful. But we don't pray for material things. That's for sure. So does this answer your question, or do you have more?
No, Maharaj, this is a wonderful. We just in our own group here, we are doing a project called Project Prayer. And if you would recall, when I first met you, I said, Maharaj, I'm a surgeon. Please give me a prescription how to pray. and you gave me some guidelines in the first instance, and that has kind of stayed with me. So we are doing a project on prayers, and I'll write to you specifically separately to take your blessings and your suggestions. But your answers are always so perfect, Maharaj. I just can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Well, thank you, Sundarananda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So I think, Maharaj, we can wind up for the day. I just got a message from Bhaktidas Prabhu that you have another program which is starting in a few minutes. So yes, we are extremely grateful, honored, and thankful to you for taking time out from your busy schedule and enlightening us in this very deep topic, and also building our faith that ultimately whatever Krishna does is for the best of everyone. So thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay. So why don't we end by offering Vaishnava Pranam?
Yes, Maharaj. And I would request, Maharaj, please join us whenever you can, possibly next time. We'll be grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who are just like desire trees, who can fulfill the desires of everyone. We are full of compassion for the fallen. Vanchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhurve Vachasam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki
Jai
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai
Jai.
His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj Ki
Jai
Jai
Jai.
Jai.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you. Thank you all for your association.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
So happy that you all joined.
Thank you for your association, Maharaj.
Very happy.
You are so fortunate, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Opening on mute.
Emrah Prabhuji, we can end the session.
Sorry?
Can we end the session now?
Well, I think some devotees are just trying to greet Maharaj. Okay. So after that we can.
I think they greet me very nicely. Very nice. All right, well, I will have to move along to the next program. But I think, so will you end this session now?
Yes, Maharaj, we can end it.
Because I won't be able to leave the devotees.
Okay, Ujjwala Madhuri, you can end the session.
Yes, we'll leave together.
Aritra Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Okay, Aritra, Aritra.
Love you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru
Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
See you soon, Maharaj.
Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.